Hi, and welcome to Fuel Your Feminine Fire. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson, and I'm so excited that you've decided to join me for this event that's designed to help you love yourself, love your life, and find real love. And I have with me here today a wonderful returning guest. That's the amazing Ken Bechtel. Welcome, Ken.
Hey, everyone. How are you? Hi, Michelle.
Great to see you, Ken. Always so much fun to connect with you and really appreciate your contribution as always. So fun to have you on.
Thank you.
So most of you, or many of you at least, may be familiar with Ken and his wonderful work in the world, but I'll give just a real quick intro. Ken Bechtel is a spiritual teacher, author, and speaker who is here to help you follow your yes and find your shortcut to love, prosperity, and happiness. He's here to help you blossom into your fullest expression so you attract the kind of partner that loves, cherishes, and adores you inside and out. Well, that sounds pretty darn good, Ken.
Well, excellent.
Yep. And we're going to have a fun conversation today. I think this is a different one than we've had before. We're going to be talking about the shortcut to love, prosperity, and happiness.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a fun topic that goes right along with our theme of fueling your feminine fire. So Ken, before we jump into talking about this in more detail, share why you decided to choose this particular topic right now. Just curious.
Well, like you said, it ties in with what you wanted to kind of frame for the event. But to me, everything in our life is inclusive. We can't separate little parts, mm-hmm. right? Some people are like, oh, I just focus on my career. I just focus on relationships. Or I just focus on my health. But the truth is they all overlap. They intermingle. And so when we can look at it with that more holistic approach, then we can realize that what we do in one area is going to impact other areas. Mm-hmm. And if we neglect an area, that impacts other areas. So it goes both ways. And when we do that, we can also see more victories because we're not just going, I'm only looking at what I do with my career, or what I do in my relationships. We actually are seeing all the victories and going, I'm making progress. I'm inspired. I'm moving forward instead of going, I can't get this figured out. So I suck, right. Which is so easy for us to do. We get so focused on the one thing that we're struggling with. We don't even celebrate the things that we're succeeding with.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And when we realize that all areas of our lives are integrated, we also realize that when we're upgrading in one level or growing in one level or one area of life, it's going to up level all those areas of life.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Yeah, I like it. Okay. So tell us about this shortcut. Let's dive in and let's talk about this shortcut.
Yeah. So the shortcut, Michelle, is what I call following your yes. It's really paying attention to that internal guidance. I call it the divine guidance, right? We're getting this information all the time of what actually leads to our highest good. But unfortunately, we don't always pay attention. Matter of fact, a lot of times we would rather listen to anything but our internal guidance because it can scare us. It can seem like, how could that possibly be? I don't understand it. Here's the thing about following your yes, it's so powerful, is if you think about your yes being your divine guidance, well, divine has a much bigger picture view of what's in front of you and what's available to you and what's next for you than any of us do individually. Mm-hmm. And when we can trust that, okay, I may not understand why this is my thing right now, but I'm going to trust it. Because until I do that, I can't find out what's next. Now, that's kind of our trap, right? As humans, we want to know, well, tell me how everything's going to work out and then.
Yeah.
But that's impossible. It's just like if you were, putting your information into a GPS and you go driving down the road and it says turn left and you don't turn left. Well, then all its other instructions are rotten. They're useless. So what does it do? Recalculating. Right? Because it can't, until it knows what you did, it can't give you the next step. And when it does try and give them all to you and you don't listen, then it has to start over. It's the same thing with our divine guidance. So it'll give you one yes, and it's not going to give you the rest because it doesn't know if you're going to follow it. Because mm-hmm. 5 minutes later, if you didn't follow it, you have to have other guidance. Right. So we have to trust that, hey, I may not know or have any idea how this could lead to where I want to go, but I know the universe has a bigger picture than I do. And because of that, I can trust it. That's why it's a shortcut. See, the universe can see all the shortcuts. We think that's the craziest thing in the world to do. And the universe is like, trust me, this is the shortcut. But our brain goes, I don't understand. I've never done this before. This doesn't work. I've never seen this work before. Yeah, because you never took the shortcut. You never trusted. So it's a big trust component, but it's so amazing because, again, it's just like having somebody sitting above the puzzle telling you all the answers that you can't see in the middle of the maze.
Right, right. So following your yes, I want to go a little deeper with this, Ken, please. Because I think it's a really fascinating idea and really powerful idea. So, and you're saying it's the divine guidance. So if this is sounding kind of like vague to someone, they're like, I don't quite know what that means to follow my divine guidance or to follow my yes. Can you go a little deeper with this and give us a little bit more on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is, I'm glad you asked it that way because oftentimes we think of yes or no as an intellectual concept, right? This is not that. I mean, those exist, right? Yes, it's, you know, raining out, I need to take an umbrella. That's an intellectual assessment. Your divine yes is a feeling. It's a feeling that compels you to move forward, even when you don't understand where it's going to take you. So it's literally this message from infinite intelligence that's saying, hey, here's the way to your highest good. And you feel this because you're like, wow, that feels really exciting. That feels interesting. That feels compelling. And a lot of times, again, it won't make sense. Maybe you can't explain it to anybody else. I'll give you a great example. When I moved to Colorado, so I'd come out to visit some friends, spent about a week here, was just loved it. But, you know, whatever. On the way back home, so I lived in Illinois at the time. I'm driving back home and I can just tell I'm going to move to Colorado. And this is what's so fun about this. So I get home. First person I end up calling is my younger brother, Steve. I get him on the phone. I say, hey, guess what? He goes, you're moving to Colorado. Mm-hmm. I haven't said this out loud to anyone. And I'm like, why would you say that? He goes, do you remember when we went to visit our aunt and uncle? Because my aunt and uncle used to live out here. And he goes, you were about 12. I was 10. That entire trip, all you said was, I'm going to live here. I'm going to live here. I'm going to live here. And it drove me nuts. So as soon as you said you're going on vacation, I'm like, he's moving. So he was aware of that compelling message that was saying, this is your spot, long before I was. But sure enough, 30 days later, I was here. Because it was just like, this is this feeling of, I need to be there. Right? It wasn't about, oh, it checks all these boxes. That wasn't even there. I didn't have a place to live when I got here. And I mean, it's amazing all these different things that lined up. But when we're trusting the feeling of yes, it's not something that's in your head, it's in your heart. And this is the biggest challenge because we get so validated for using our brains all the time. And we get dismissed, especially women a lot of times get, you know, oh, you're too emotional. You're all feely. Yeah, because that's where your divine guidance is. Mm-hmm. And so when we're paying attention to that, we're like, oh, that's not an intellectual. Does this pencil? Does this add up? Is this the most strategic decision? It's, I've got this calling. I've got this, something's calling me. And again, this isn't, I mean, yeah, me moving across the country was a big thing. But most of your yeses are very simple day-to-day things. Mm-hmm. What to do right now? What's the next task on your list? Do you take a break? Do you go have lunch? What do you eat? What do you wear that day? If you start tuning in and trusting those feelings, instead of going, well, no one will like that. Well, God's not setting you up to make fun of you. So the divine's sitting there going, trust me, I'm helping you. But we have to go into the feelings because our brains will disqualify it every time.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes it's something we haven't let ourselves try before, or maybe not in that particular way. And so your brain goes, wait, I don't know how that works. Wait. Don't try that. That's untried. That's untested. And so we'll shut ourselves down. And it's a change in how we're viewing the world and how we're showing up in the world. We're being driven by those feelings, by that divine guidance, as opposed to going, I can pencil this out based on experience, which is really what our brain does, right? It doesn't, your brain can't figure out something new except for what it filters through its prior experiences. But your feelings guide you into that new expansive space.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I've called this in the past, what you're describing, when we kind of like overthink our inner guidance. I've sometimes called that trying to outsmart your intuition.
Yeah.
And that is definitely a thing. It's definitely something that can happen. And I also think once we start doing enough of that, it becomes harder sometimes to be able to tune into that inner guidance system or that inner wisdom.
Yep.
That you're talking about. So I think this is a really powerful thing. It reminds me, and I'm having a brain freeze on the author right now, but I just started reading a book, and it's talking about confidence. And one of the things that she talks about at the beginning of the book is betting on yourself.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times our inner guidance system, like your move to Colorado, or maybe our moves to start the businesses that we're in, or whatever aspect of life we're receiving this inner wisdom or this inner guidance on, sometimes it doesn't logically seem like the most rational thing to do.
Yeah,
and yet absolutely. It's that, and yet it is something that is pulling us forward. We are kind of taking a bet on ourselves or our lives or our inner guidance to trust that enough to make the move, whatever the move it is. And like you said, they're not all big, huge things. But I think the more we're able to listen to that and be guided by that, the more we're able to hear it.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this forward today was because of your focus on feminine fire. The feminine gets degraded for this, right? You get told that your feelings aren't valuable, but your brain is. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is we've been validated for using our brain, so we naturally do more of what we're validated for. And we've learned to not trust and not listen to the feelings. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, the emotions. I'm talking about those feelings, those compelling, like, oh, that sounds like the right thing. Oh, that feels good. Now, one of the other things that happens, and this is part of our culture, is almost everyone's been trained to dismiss their inner authority, which is that divine guidance, and look for external authorities. Teacher, social proof. Oh, if everybody didn't like it, yeah, I can't do it, even though I love the idea.
Right.
Well, nobody else has done it yet. I'm waiting for other people to do it first. Why? Why do we decide, well, we've been trained, right? Oh, we got to get this confirmed. We got to get this validated. Somebody else has to tell us it's okay. And I mean, if you think about relationships, right? People do it all the time. You know, I was thinking about going out with a guy. What do you think?
Right.
Why? They're not going to go out with him.
Right.
But we defer to other people and dismiss that inner guidance. Mm-hmm. The same thing with your inner relationship, and maybe it's not going well, but it's like, oh, but he's so great. And you're going, but it doesn't feel good. Oh, but maybe I'm just being too hard on him. This is where we start making up stories.
Right.
So again, our guidance is always there. That's the cool thing. You don't have to go look for it. It's there all the time. We just have to tune into it. Reverend Michael Beckwith has this great phrase. He said, people will come to him at times at his Agape church, and people say, I'm so excited God spoke to me today. And he goes, I always look at them and say, no, you listened.
Mm.
The divine is always communicating with us, but we've been trained that that's not okay to pay attention to it,
mm-hmm.
because we can't empirically identify why.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this the right thing for me? What if we just trusted it? And again, this is a big one, right? In all areas of our life, trust is the challenge. That's why we want social media to go tell us 2,700 people like this so I can trust it.
Right.
You don't know those 2,700 people.
Right.
It's just like if you look on Amazon, right? The ratings, now they have to say they're a verified purchase. Why? Because people were putting up false things, but everybody was counting on them.
Right. Right.
And yet we still would rather go, well, I can trust whoever this anonymous whatever is, 27 likes, even though I know nothing about them and they could be false, but I will put my future on that as opposed to trusting my internal guidance.
Right.
And this is what's happened. So now we get pulled around. by all these different external forces when we've got internal guidance. And let's be honest, when something goes sideways, what happens? Instantly, we have that instant awareness of all the signs we had that we didn't pay attention to. Mm-hmm. All the internal guidance that was there that we dismissed, because 27 people didn't say that your internal guidance is right. They said their guidance was right, and you follow them instead of you. Mm-hmm. We do it everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. It's true. So it may seem somewhat obvious when I ask this question, but why does this create a shortcut for us being able to have what we want in our lives? Why does listening create a shortcut?
Listening doesn't. It's acting on what you're listening to. So I can sit there and get that in, you know, guidance to move to Colorado and not do anything.
Right, which we have to do in order to get the guidance as to what to do. But yeah, right.
It's yeah, so the thing is, the shortcut is, like I said before, imagine you're in this maze, which is kind of like life is. It's this puzzle we're trying to figure out what's the best next move. And here's the divine up above there being able to tell us. You don't have to keep going down the wrong path. It will guide you, even when you can't figure it out, because you would have never, ever taken that path on your own. Your brain could never compute why that's the right path. The universe is going, trust me, dude, this is a shortcut. Mm-hmm. So again, it's because the perspective of the divine is infinite. It can see all those things. It can see all the pitfalls. It can see all the things that are in front of us, as opposed to us having to amble our way through it because we're trying to figure it out instead of feeling it out. Mm-hmm. And that's what we get stuck in. And I'll give you an example. So when I was a little kid, ever since I've been aware of like your favorite color, my favorite color was orange, but I don't know where I got this. I had some idea that that wasn't cool. Like nobody had orange as a color. Like you go to school and people like green and they like red and they like blue, but nobody liked orange. And so I had this message in my head that I picked up somewhere that said, that's not okay. And so I decided my solution was I'd make red my favorite color. Mm-hmm. I just go, that's close enough. It's a cool color. People like red. I like, yeah, red's a good color. And so I'd tell everybody when they'd say, what's your favorite color? I said red. But I knew it wasn't true. So it was off, right? It wasn't 100% on. But what happened? Well, I'm telling everybody my favorite color is red. So what did I get? A red bicycle, a red sweater, a red, all my gifts were red. Matter of fact, I would have family members say, oh, and we saw it in your favorite color. We knew you'd love it, which would have been true if red was my favorite color.
Right.
But what
right.
I'd literally done by doing that, going intellectually, I think red's okay, even though orange is the one that feels right. Right. So that's how I was dismissing my yes. What happened? I literally set those people up to fail me. I gave them the wrong answers. So they were doing everything, going, oh, it's his favorite color. He'll be so excited. And instead I'm like, yeah, it's cool, but it's not everything. So I ended up, for whatever reason, I ended up at a university whose colors are red and white.
Okay.
So I'm surrounded by red everywhere. I don't own a single red anything. And I'm like, clearly this is not my color. It's time to own it. So I started owning that I liked orange. Matter of fact, I had got some orange shirts and different stuff. And I'd wear them and people like, wow, you don't see many people wearing orange. It looks really good on you. And I'd be like, oh, orange is my favorite color. And every single time somebody in that group would be like, oh, me too. But you would have never been able to guess because they're wearing everything else. And what happened was it attracted the people that aligned with what was true for me. I mean, there was nothing wrong with people who liked red or that the school's colors are red, but it was off. Right? It wasn't quite there. And mm-hmm. I knew it the whole time. You could feel it. But my brain was afraid of owning what was true for me. Mm-hmm. And that's what we end up doing. So again, I could have sat there looking around trying to find the right people. Because this is the funny thing. Almost every person I'd met that when I'd say, oh, orange is my favorite color, like, oh, me too. They were always somebody I was like, wow, they were always interesting, but I never knew why. So my brain couldn't figure out why we were connected. I had to own who I was and follow that. Yes. And then it did it for me. Mm-hmm. There's the shortcut. I didn't have to go looking through all the student body to find the people that I really clicked with. Just by being me and wearing orange, they showed up.
Mm-hmm. So this feels like there's a real tie-in connection here with authenticity.
Yes. But again, this is the shift, Michelle, and this is why it's so important. Almost everybody I've ever met, I'm sure with you as well, if you say, oh yeah, you know, do you feel like you're being authentic? We all think we are.
Mm.
Notice the word I just said, we think we are.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
We've approved this version of ourselves intellectually. So we don't want the rest of it. I didn't want anybody to know orange is my favorite color. I thought I was be ostracized. People make fun of me. But it was. There was no denying it. So this is the key, is we have to go, oh, if I just own this, then it's kind of like a radio station, right? Radio stations play whatever music they're playing, country, rock and roll, classical, what have you. And then the people find them and go, oh, you're my favorite. I'm going to come back. But they don't play different music every other song because they want to please everybody. Because
mm-hmm.
you won't, because then if I like country and I go over there for country and the next time you're playing classical, I'm like, oh, guess it's not my station. I'm gone.
Right.
We have to be consistent in our true message. And then it attracts those that match to it.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's finding that for ourselves. And I think I may have got off a little bit from what you were talking about, but remind me what you'd asked. Did I miss something?
I just said it feels like there's a connection with authenticity.
Yes.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah. So the authenticity is going, I'm letting the audience find me. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be that visceral authenticity, right? I could sit there and go, hey, I'm the head of this radio station. I'm the program manager. And I think, and statistics show me more people like rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to be a classical station anyhow. Because we're thrilled to play classical music.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it's the one that most people listen to. Not because it's the one that's going to make us the biggest revenue. But because it's actually resonates. It's my truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another way you can look at your yes, right? It's that alignment. It's that truth. It's what is really you being you.
Mm-hmm.
And that has nothing to do with what you think will be approved of. Because here's the truth. No matter who you are and how you're showing up in the world, some people are going to like it. Some people are going to be kind of indifferent, and some people are going to think it's horrible.
True.
So doesn't it make sense to actually be who you truly are so that the people that like you get to like the real you?
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that don't, it doesn't matter. They're not your people. They're not your audience. They'll never listen to your classical radio station.
Right.
Because it's just not their music. It doesn't make your music bad. It doesn't make them bad. It just isn't a match.
Right.
So the authenticity part, again, has to be deeper than intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
Because almost everybody says they are because they're saying, I line up with what I think is approved.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, I'm being me and, you know, I'm very aware that there's going to be people that don't like you. That equation never changes. It's just,
right.
What are you putting into the equation? Are you really being you? Or are you being what you think is approved?
Right.
And
yeah, absolutely.
You got to tune into your feelings because they will take you places your brain never will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And when you're telling your story about Colorado and being there, you know, even as a younger man, you're recognizing how much you liked it there. When you're saying, I'm going to live here. And then you go take this vacation and a month later you're living there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting how often we have those kinds of feelings or those kinds of messages. And we do dismiss them as being like not important. Like you could have still made the choice. You could have gone into your brain and said, this doesn't logically make sense. I'm from Illinois, for heaven's sakes, whatever. You know, I'm sure there were reasons your mind could have come up with to stay in Illinois.
Oh, yeah. And there were friends and family that are like, this is such a rash decision. What are you going to do when you get there? And all these reasonings, they were going, this doesn't make any sense. And we're scared for you. Which was sweet, right? Like people
yeah.
care. They're doing this with the best of intentions. And I'm just like, nope, got to go.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I was talking about. Things line up for you, right? So when I was driving back from Colorado and I had this idea, I'm going to move. I'm just like, yeah, I'm moving. I'm driving into town And I'm going past this apartment complex where my friend Michelle lived, and she lived with her twin sister. And I remember that she had told me her sister was getting married and she was going to, you know, be moving on. And so I was like, wow, I don't even know if Michelle lives there anymore. I'll have to check in with her. I get home and 15 minutes later, Michelle calls me. She's like, hey, Ken, my sister's getting married this weekend. I'm going to move at the end of the month. You got a great place. Can you tell me who you work with to find it? And I swear to you, Michelle, this is what came out of my mouth. You want to rent my place? She's like, yes. What? I'm like, I'm moving to Colorado. I'd never said this out loud to anyone. Literally rented my place in 15 minutes without telling anyone. I get to Colorado. I'm staying with the friends I had visited. I didn't really have a place to live. I run into a girl I knew from summer camp in Illinois on the street who yells at me, hey, Ken. I'm like, what? How's somebody yelling my name? I don't even, like, I just got here. Sure enough, it's this girl, Marcia. Long story short, I meet her and some friends for dinner that evening, and one of her friends is renting out her place. All these things line up. Now, I could never plan that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing my rational mind would have ever gotten to, but that's what I'm saying about your yes leads to another yes to another yes. And you just take the first one and trust it. Now, like I said, going across the country is a dramatic step. But it could be as simple as taking a different route home. And then you realize later, oh, there was a big accident on your old route and it saved you 2 hours of sitting in traffic. Oh, I wonder, well, that must be why I was directed to do that. I just trusted it. I didn't have to go, well, that's a little longer and it's never faster, but I just did it. Right? So here's the other thing that I want to make sure we touch on, because, you know, the way you can look at it is in the moment, you've got a yes, whatever that next thing is to do, big or small. Everything else is a no for right now, because you can't be doing 27 things at once. It's what's that one thing? Now, here's where we get trapped is what I call maybes. Because everybody's like, well, what's a maybe? Like, I don't really feel like it's a yes or it's a no. Maybes are no's that we wish were yeses. So we're trying to force them. Either we wish it was ready now, we wish it was the right person, the right time, whatever that situation is. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're putting all this energy into trying to force a no to be something it's not. And the reason we do this is we don't think it'll ever come back. Mm-hmm. Well, what if that goes away and I never get it back? Well, that's okay. Then it wasn't your yes then, and it's not ever going to be. There's something better.
Right.
You just don't know it yet. So we end up putting all this energy into trying to proverbially, you know, put the square peg in a round hole. And it's like, why don't you just wait till the square peg and the square hole show up? Mm-hmm. Then it is a match. And in the meantime, what is that match? And that's the key, is going, this is all right here, right now. Because just like I was talking about with the GPS, if we go a different direction, it's going to be a different yes.
Right.
So we have to just go, I don't need to go, I've got all this figured out. And if it's not lining up right now, that doesn't mean it never will. It simply means, hey, this is how I keep my power right now, is staying tuned to my yes.
Yeah. And I think along with getting caught up in the maybes, another thing is something you mentioned earlier, which is that we just kind of feel like, we just kind of feel like, well, I want to know what the outcome is. I want to know if I start down this path, I want to know how all the steps are going to work out. Mm-hmm. I want to know what the, you know, if in your case of moving to Colorado, I want to know exactly where I'm going to be able to live. I want to know how my professional life's going to go there. I want to know how my love life's going to go there. You know, it's like we jump so far ahead, and that's not the way it works. It's not revealed all at once. We take a step, and then the next step reveals itself. I just wanted to refer back to that, because I think that's another place where we get hung up on.
Yeah.
Hesitating to follow the yes, along with getting caught up with the maybes. It's the wait, but I don't know where this is going to ultimately lead me. And we do that in relationships too. We do this so often in a relationship. We're on a first date and we're like, well, but I want to know how this is all going to turn out. I want to know if I should continue to invest here or spend time here. We're so worried about that outcome that it's hard to be present in the moment. And listen to what the yes is now. Maybe the yes is just a date. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't have to know all this.
Yeah. And obviously, how many times are we disappointed by thinking we know what it's going to be? Mm-hmm. We don't know, even when we try and do all that research or all that extrapolation, right? So it simplifies life when we just go, hey, what's my yes? And that's all that matters. And here's the trick to doing this is if you just decide, okay, nothing can ever be a maybe again. There's no little like parking spot where I put it in between the two and I don't have to decide, because that's kind of what we use maybes for.
Right.
Right. Oh, it's just like if somebody says, hey, I'm having a party Friday, can you come? And you say maybe.
Then no.
Because you don't want to answer them. Because why? I don't want to tell them no. Because it's a no, and I maybe something will make it nothing else happen, so I came to your party. But I already know I don't want to go.
Yeah,
right. It's a no. So again, we use it as this opt out. But if we just go, hey, there's nothing's a maybe. I just have to decide right here in this moment: is it a yes or no? It's really easy. Then you know exactly what to do next. If it's not a yes, fine. Doesn't make it bad. It's not gone forever. It might circle around, but if it doesn't, who cares? You were doing the thing that lined up for you. So again, it's, and let me just emphasize, we all do this in certain ways. We may not use this language. So like, imagine a time where, let's say there was a movie that came out and you kept reading reviews and everybody was saying it was a horrible movie, don't waste your money. And you're like, yeah, but I like that kind of movie. I'm going to go anyhow. And you loved it. Well, you trusted that inner authority that trusts more than all the external experts and went anyhow. And what happened? You had a great time because you didn't try and rationalize, because all the critics would have made you say, well, there's no reason to waste your time on that. They even said that, don't waste your time and money. And you went, I'm going anyhow. So we all know how to do this. But that's kind of like, well, there's very little consequence to that if I go to a movie and I spend 10 bucks and it doesn't work out. Okay, but what if it was a total disaster and it scarred you forever and whatever?
Right.
There's all kinds of possibilities, right? Everything doesn't have to have a huge consequence. But what I want to bring home is you have this ability. Now it's developing it so that you can use it on those other things that may have a bigger consequence. Because your comment about wanting to know where it's going to lead, that's why we want to know where it's going to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I want to start dating this person and then they treat me poorly and then I have all this damage that happens from that? I've been through that already. I don't want to do it again.
Right.
Okay. So that's intellectually trying to write. Well, how are you ever going to know that? Well, I'll try and find all the people that he's ever dated and ask them. I mean, there's not a reference source, right? It's not like there's right. Yelp for dating. And even if it was, it would be so skewed because you're not that other person. Something they could have said was horrible may be not horrible for you. So there's no way to do that. We have to trust it. We have to give it a shot. And so another word I think that I hear all the time is people want to be confident about that choice. Right? How's it going to turn out? I want to be confident. You can only be confident about things that are known. In other words, you've already experienced them. Otherwise, like if you're going to a new restaurant, never been there before, you can't be confident they have good food. But you can have the courage to try. You go there, right. You check it out, you have some food. Now, once you've experienced it, you can have confidence. But let's say you went there and you had one meal. Great. And you loved it. You thought it was great. That still doesn't allow you to be confident that all their food is good, right? The rest of the menu could be lousy. You could have got their only good meal. But we keep going, I want to be confident before I move forward. It's impossible. The thing you have to do is be courageous enough to go, let's do this, because I'll never get to the payoff if I don't go in the restaurant and order something. Even if a whole bunch of people tell you it's great, we've all had restaurants recommended and we got there and went, wow, everybody likes this. I thought it wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So even though that's what we defer to, it's not really that valuable. We just give it a shot and we go, okay, let's see what happens. Now, obviously you take care of yourself, you know, you don't put yourself in harm's way if it's like, but what happened again? I had a feeling it wasn't a good thing to do. A feeling. Rationally, you could have checked all the boxes and said, this is the best place to spend my time right now, but something told you not to do it.
Right.
That's your yes. Some people call it intuition, gut feeling, knowingness, you know, there's all this kind of stuff. All that really matters is it's that divine guidance. And we can tune into that anytime we want, not just the random arbitrary times. And we're like, oh, I got this funny feeling and I didn't go there and it was fortuitous. Okay. But what if you did that all the time? It wasn't unusual. It was the norm. Yeah, I just followed my ass and it took me where I needed to go.
I think it's an incredibly powerful, way to live.
Yeah. And it is. I mean, that's the thing. I got to tell you this because it's happened so many times. And it's funny because literally this is the word that everybody has ever said when they say, you know, I just followed my yes. And I instantly felt relief. Because we let go of that pressure of trying to control things. And we just go, wow, I just did or said that thing that was feeling right. It was easy. It felt great. And I didn't have all that pressure and all that strain and all that stress of what if. I just did it.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is, it's actually, again, the shortcut. It's the easier path than trying to control everything, trying to struggle and wrestle it to the ground. Just like, what if I just did it and went with it and trusted it? Again, 99.9% of your life is going to be tiny little things. So they're not these like, but I could never do that with moving across the country. Well, chances are you never will. And if you do, it might happen once in your entire life. It's not everyday occurrence, right? So the things that we're starting with and that we're doing all the time are little things. The consequence, if it goes sideways, is very, very small.
Yeah.
So we get to give ourselves that beginner's mindset, right? We start there and go, hey, what if I just allow myself to start practicing over here? Then I get better and better at it. And when the big ones show up, I can recognize those instead of missing them.
Yeah, it's very powerful way to live your life. Yeah. I know when I have been really in tune and listened to my yes and taken action on it, it's led me into really wonderful things in my life. And sometimes it has felt scary. Sometimes it has felt like going against what would seem the logical, rational thing to do. But it leads me into paths that are incredible adventures, which is why I love this idea so much. And also I love this idea of betting on ourselves or trusting that enough to have the confidence to do it. To have confidence that we are being divinely guided. We can have that divinely guided wisdom to live our lives by. And it also saves us a lot of time from, you know, debating within on the maybes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about anything that you get caught up in and you're just like grinding on it. What if you didn't have any of that? What would you be able to do with all that time and energy instead of driving yourself crazy?
Exactly.
And I got to tell you, this is one of the weird side effects. Well, not weird. It kind of makes sense that you have this. You will sleep so much better because your mind's not sitting there grinding all these things, trying to figure out if it's okay. And if I have control, well, how's it going to turn out? You just trust it. Right. I mean, you could have, it's just like you could be planning a picnic for the following day. And you're sitting there going, geez, I hope the weather works out. The weatherman's saying this and all this stuff. And what do we do as a backup? And you wake up the next day and it's pouring. Done. All that worry was unnecessary because it was just like, okay, well, today's not going to be the day. Very simple. Mother Nature already decided not a day for a picnic. And you have to adjust. But you wouldn't have had to put all that into it. You wouldn't have sat there worrying about it and stressing and straining and going, what's the backup? You would have just waited. And then you went, oh, look, it's not sun. It's not raining. Or it is raining. Okay, not a good day for picnic. And you can contact your people that are coming and say, well, obviously today's not the day for a picnic. How about we meet XYZ? Or let's put it off till next week or whatever that adjustment is. But you didn't have to spend all this time grinding on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing how much more people tell me. They're like, oh my gosh, my sleep has totally changed.
Yeah. Well, and I also think it's important to remember that we don't necessarily have to like justify it, rationalize it, or explain it to other people.
Yes.
It's our yes.
Well, and chances are you can't.
Right.
Because just like you said, when you follow that for yourself, it's taking you places you could have never imagined. So when you first decide to follow it, you have no idea those payoffs. So there's no way to go, oh, but it's going to be this amazing thing and this is going to come of it. You don't have a clue, but it feels right. So you're going in that direction. Mm-hmm. And then you get rewarded with all these wonderful experiences, but they're far beyond anything you could have ever imagined and shared with anybody. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's not their yes anyhow. So even if you do explain it, they may be like, that's horrible.
Yeah.
It's funny because my mom's personality is very, very different from mine. And she said this to me over and over and over in my life. She's like, yeah, I wouldn't be doing the things you do. So she used to wrestle with it. Why are you doing that? And then she goes, he just has different interests. Like, I would never take the adventures that he does. So I can't ever understand it. It will never feel right to me.
Right.
But I can tell it's right for him, and he's thrilled and has these great experiences. So cool.
Yeah.
She had to learn to trust that I was trusting, or she could trust me, right, to be doing the thing that worked for me, as opposed to going, oh, I got to live my life like she does, mm-hmm. which is another thing that we do, right? Oh, this is what's approved by my family, or this is what's approved by my community. And so I got to do it their way.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to going, yeah, I think for me, it's this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So again, it's back to that inner authority as opposed to the external, and learning to trust that inner authority isn't just some random arbitrary thing. That's the divine. That's the universe. That's God, Allah, you know, great spirit, whatever you want to call it for yourself. That's that communication. And, oh, well, I think that's a better authority than no matter who else I know. It doesn't matter right. who I'm talking to. They're not even close to what the divine has.
Right. Right. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. I love this concept and I love this conversation. I think it's really powerful and a really powerful way to live our lives. And if it's not something that you've experienced, I believe you can still experience it. By going within, by tuning in and paying attention to those feelings and where they're guiding you. Yeah. And for those of us that have had that experience, it's an opportunity to experiment with it even more.
Yeah. And the truth is, I've never met anybody who hasn't on some level. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, yeah, I did that when, and they may have only done it once that they can remember. But the point is, we've all done it. Because it's available to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like you said, if you've done it and you're aware of it, cool, build on that. If you don't think you have, I guarantee you have. And that's the first step. We have to go, wait a minute, I am capable. I have done this and it went well, or maybe it went fantastically well.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's that permission to start approaching our life in a different way. Actually showing up going, this isn't about the rational, logical, and not that all yeses are arbitrary and irrational.
Right.
I don't have to start there. Because literally what happens is our heart is meant to be our guidance system. Most of us use our head. Some of us only use our guts, right? We're just spontaneous. We just do these things. We're kind of, you know, impulsive. And so we just go, let's just do that. But it's meant to be that your guidance is from your heart. That's the what's the thing I need to do and why is that important? But then we go to our brains to help us know how to do it. That's what the rational mind's for. Here's the ways to approach that. Here's the ways to do it. And then your gut is meant to be that inspiration. That's the courage to take that step. Most people are just going head, gut, and we skip the heart altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Or we think if we use our heart, that means we dismiss our head. No, they're meant to work together. So that's really the thing is we have to start shifting how we're approaching our world and letting the entire system that we're designed with come into play instead of dismissing one part or another as either bad or not very strong for you, or, you know, I'm not smart enough or I'm not in tune enough. We all are when we allow them to match up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this has been a great conversation, Ken. Thank you so much. And I want to also give you an opportunity to share a little bit about your gift that you have for the audience. And for everybody watching or listening, the link for that will be right underneath the video or audio that you're watching or listening from. So, Ken, tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So it's a mini course I put together that's really the first steps in following your yes. And I call it From Your Head to Your Heart, because as we talked about, that's a key component. And there's five videos there that actually walk you through different aspects of how do you really make that shift and get into our heart as our first step in decisions. It's not the only one. It's the first step, but we have to make that journey. And it's funny because there's a common phrase out there, the longest journey is from your head to your heart. And the only reason it's long is we're in such resistance. we keep backing up and going from backing up. So this gives you some components as to what those payoffs are and gives you an idea of how that works and how to go from your head to your heart.
That sounds great. It sounds wonderful. So everybody check that out. Click on the link below to get Ken's video course. And Ken, I always like to give my speakers a chance to leave a last thought or a last word before we wrap up for today.
Yeah. So here's the biggest thing I want to share with everyone, because I know this is, you know, really meant to help the ladies out there and tapping into that feminine fire and that power. There's been a lot of chaos and craziness going on in the world, obviously. We all know that. What we need to do is come inside. Instead of letting that external be running us over, when we can find our own internal strength, and this is part of following that, yes, touching in with our hearts, trusting that, and letting ourselves go, what's important for me right now? Because your real gift in the world is to be the best expression of you. Because we're all an extension of the divine, right? We're an expression of the divine. And we're all unique. So it's not going, I can be the most like someone else. It's really celebrating whatever your expression is. And it could be one that's very, you know, distinct. And you're like, well, nobody else does that. Exactly. That's why it's even more important. Because you're that unique expression. It's just like if you think of musicians, right? There's musicians that have a very unique kind of music. Great. Why is that important? Well, everybody's not going there. Everybody doesn't like any kind of music, but those are there. So people go, ooh, that's inspiring. Ooh, that's really good. That really resonates for me. And you're not doing it for them. You're doing it because it's who you are.
Right.
So it's like a flower, right? When a flower blooms, it doesn't do it because you walked by. It does it because that's who it is. When it gets its needs met, it blooms. And some people are going to like it. Some people aren't going to care. Some people are going to go, that thing's ugly. It does it because it's who it is. And that's what I invite all of you to do. Be who you are for yourself. Know that that's the gift you're here to bring to the world. It's not how well you can be like someone else. It's how fully you can be yourself.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful words to wrap up on. Thank you, Ken.
My pleasure.
And thank you to everyone watching. We really appreciate you being here and taking your time to tune in. And we look forward to seeing you for more of Fuel Your Feminine Fire. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.